You can see on the board, we're going to cover Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20 tonight. And I'm going to read that. It's from the English Standard Version. It says, "Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you make much of them, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." You know, we've been studying out this message in Galatians about the Galatian Christians, and the Apostle Paul, he's been writing to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he asks them why they left the true gospel for a false gospel, and he's taught them to turn back to the law of Moses is to go back to immaturity, and is leaving the faith of Jesus altogether. And we come to a section here now that Paul's message becomes more personal. Notice particularly in Galatians 4:19, where he says, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." So things are starting to get pretty personal here as he writes to them, and he says he's going to continue to work hard until Christ is formed in them. And so what we're going to look at this evening are some of the things that identifies this paragraph of what it looks like when Christ is formed in them, and that's because that's his goal. That's what Paul is trying to achieve. And he describes his work with them as being in labor until Christ is formed in them. We're going to see some of the things that he writes about to them in this particular paragraph, trying to get to grow up into maturity and faith and to become what God has called them to be. And we're going to start right where we left off Sunday night. We're going to start in verse 12 of Galatians. Let me read the first part of that to you again. "Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but receive me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Well, the first thing he says here, and he earnestly asked them to listen, and he's saying, remember what things were like when I first came to you. There in verses 12 and 13, he's saying, When I came to you, he even says, you did me no wrong. I came to you because of an ailment, a bodily ailment. And that right there is interesting. And you hear all kinds of guesses as what that bodily ailment was. But I think it's good that Paul doesn't tell us what that ailment was, because it gives everybody a chance maybe to identify with him and whatever difficulty he was going through. And so you see that here. And he says, I came to you and I had physical problems. But even though I had those things, you didn't treat me badly, and you didn't treat me wrong. And notice how he describes there in verse 14, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. So whatever that difficulty was seemed to be a problem to his, I guess you would say, his delivery of the gospel. So even though I have an ailment and those difficulties, you didn't scorn me and all and at all, and you received me as you should have received me as a messenger of God. You heard my message and you listened to my teachings. You cared for the gospel. So Paul's praising them for that because they were interested then in receiving the gospel. They wanted to hear what Paul had to say, and it didn't matter what difficulties Paul had at that time when he was preaching that message to him. And that makes this statement in verse 16 interesting, because in verse 16 he's basically asking, what happened? I proclaimed to you the truth. You received me. You didn't care about my ailment, my condition. But now he says in verse 16, have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? And that's interesting because it's a reminder to us that Christ is not going to be formed in us, and we're not going to grow into spiritual maturity or grow in the faith if we reject the message just because we don't like it. And I like what Paul is doing right here. So I'm your enemy now because you don't like what I'm writing to you and you don't like what I'm saying to you. I had all these problems when I came to you before, and you disregarded all the problems and gladly received the message. And now you won't receive the message because you don't like it. You don't like what I'm saying. You know, that's like in our world today where the truth is basically whatever I like, whatever I want it to be. And that's the world's definition of truth. If I like it, then that makes it true. And that's the way I'm going to live. And the way Paul talks about this, he's telling them, you're not ever going to come to know Christ. Christ is not going to be formed if you're not willing to listen to his message. And you can imagine what Paul was telling them wasn't particularly delightful. And it's not mentioned if Paul's referring to a previous correspondence, or maybe it's even the harshness of this very letter. Remember how this letter begins. It's not like the others. He doesn't have any thanksgiving. There's not much of any kind of salutation as there is in many of Paul's other letters. But he says he's appalled that you've turned your back on the gospel. And now he's sort of doubling back on this, and he's asking, are you going to reject all of this because I'm not speaking softly or kindly to you, but I give you the truth and the message of the gospel? Am I your enemy now just because you don't like what I have to say? And I think we have to be aware of that, because it's easy to reject what we see in scriptures because it doesn't conform to what we want it to say. We want it to say what we want to hear, right? I mean, and nowadays, that's the scriptures. That's how they're dealt with sometimes. And that even happens amongst our own brethren. And we only want to talk about the things that we agree on. And we don't want to go through that hard stuff and deal with the scriptures that say things that we might not really like what they're saying. Let's just talk about the things that we agree on. You know, that other stuff sort of makes me uncomfortable. Here's Paul coming along saying, now, am I going to be your enemy? Because I'm going to tell you the truth of the gospel, and I'm going to proclaim something to you that you don't like, even though it's what God's word says. And it's a challenge for us, because even though we like something, doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it godly just because we want scriptures to say something in a particular way. Paul is challenging them here, and all that he's talking about the truth of the gospel and how it needs to be preserved, he says, now, are you going to accept what I told you, or does this make me an enemy because I declare the full message of the gospel? And for us, it reminds us then that we should always want to hear the word of God, and that we should approach scriptures that way. We should come to the scriptures and not say, okay, I'm doing everything right, I think so, now let me read the scriptures and let's validate what I'm doing. But we should treat the scriptures with open eyes and open hearts and open ears, recognizing, okay, this is going to tell me I'm doing something wrong. What do I need to do to change today? How do I need to change my way of thinking? How do I need to change my behavior? You're not trying to validate and justify what I'm doing right now, but be willing to read it and go, you know what? I'm going to have to fix this, and I'm going to have to change. And that's what Paul is calling them to do. He's saying, you received me as a messenger from God before, so why not now? What's changed? And so it's important for us to approach the Word of God that way and realize that there's no way for us to have any kind of spiritual maturity and have any growth in the faith, and Christ will not be formed up in us if we don't approach the Scriptures with that attitude. You know, how's this going to change me today? But it's so easy to treat the Word of God with an attitude that I'm going to do what I want to do, and I only hear what I want to hear. I don't want to be challenged, and I don't want to change. I just want to presume what I'm doing is right now, and it's good enough. So don't tell me that I need to do something different. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I know what the preacher said, and I've heard that before, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And when you hear those words, I think, or I don't think, that sort of raises a red flag. You know, what I think is not that important, and it's an error if it contradicts what the Scriptures teach. So instead, there's this challenge that I have to be ready to change. I have to be ready to listen. And the second thing he brings up, and it seems almost out of place. Notice in verse 17 what he does when he says, they make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed with you. He gives them a warning here in verse 17. It's probably one of the most direct statements we've seen so far in Galatians when he says, they make much of you. Here are these people, these agitators, these Judaizers that we've read about in Galatians, and they're proclaiming this false gospel to them. And he says, let me give you a characteristic of some of the things that they're doing. They make much of you, but not with a good reason. The reason is there in verse 17 where it says, they want to shut you out so that you'll make much of them. That's an interesting characteristic of these false teachers. I want to be much, so pay attention to me. I need to be the center of attention. They were not being humble servants, simply trying to work, but they're trying to get attention for themselves. They wanted respect. They wanted honor. Paul says, what they're trying to do by making much of you is to get attention from you. And they try to get attention from you in some of the strangest ways. He says in verse 17 that they shut you out so that you'll pay attention. I guess that sounds to me like they're acting like they were maybe when you were in junior high, they were acting like that. You know, doesn't that sound about right? But it wasn't about the gospel. It wasn't about being a servant of God. It was about pay attention to me. And you see that warning all through Scriptures. In Ezekiel 34, you get this description of false shepherds. And in this description of false shepherds, you read, these shepherds only care about themselves. They don't care about the sheep. They're ruining the food, and they're pushing the sheep. They're trampling all over them because it's not about the sheep. It's about themselves. False teachers are not working for God, and they're not working for the sheep. And you see this pay attention to me attitude all over the religious world. And the first thing that came to my mind, how we see this in most obvious ways, is by titles and maybe even fancy clothes. You wear particular things like fancy robes and fancy pointy hats so that Everybody knows that you're somebody really important in the church. You're somebody that has some high standing. We can't call you by your first name. We have to call you by some impressive title. You can't just be Nate or Don or Bob. It's all about pay attention to me. There's not supposed to be any attention to any human being. Christ is where the attention is supposed to be. Teachers should recognize that they're only supposed to be servants of God and to keep in mind that they're servants of the flock. They're serving the flock as the function of a shepherd. Is that you're supposed to be serving the flock. You might be leading the flock, but at the same time you're serving the flock. It's not about being important, and it's not about the spotlight. Here's Paul saying, you have to know what false teachers look like in gaining spiritual maturity. He's saying, I want you to watch out for this. Watch what these agitators and these Judaizers are doing. Keep a close eye on them. Are they about your spirituality and what is good for you and about the kingdom of God, or are they mostly about themselves? And he says, they make much of you so that you'll make much of them. So he warns them to watch out for false teachers. He's teaching them that the signs of these false teachers is visible. These signs are visible. It's right there in front of them, so they should reject them so that Christ can be formed in them. And verse 20 of our text says, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. Paul is saying he wants to be there with them personally. He knows how much more effective he could be against these Judaizers if he were there. He's also letting them know by telling them this, how important they are to him. He wants them to know this, especially in this letter, because he has said some harsh things. Paul felt that if he were there in person, maybe the harshness of this letter could be avoided. The things he's been telling them are serious. Their acceptance of the agitators and of the Judaizing doctrine will cost each and every one of them their souls if they let it continue. And Paul doesn't like using this kind of tone with them, and he wants them to know that. Paul is practicing what he preached concerning the very things in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, where it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Well, I'm going to end right there. That pretty much covers the rest of my assignment in Galatians. I almost wish Nate had assigned me the rest of chapter 4. Not really, but Paul is going to show these Galatians, he's going to explain in more detail what they have to do in order to have Christ formed in them, and we get to hear a really interesting story about Abraham and his two sons and what they represent, and it's going to make all this come together, I believe. So that ends our lesson. If you've heard the word, you believe it, you can come forward and repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and you can be baptized and be fully immersed, and you can be added to his number. But if you've already taken those steps and you've sinned publicly, you can come forward, repent, have a prayer on your behalf as we stand and sing the invitation song.